I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby.
Chili's baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
Chili's baby back ribs.
God.
Someone do a bass. Better than whoever just did it right now. Wasn't paying attention.
What was it? The barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Barbecue sauce.
There you go. That was much better.
Yeah.
Coming in. I was in pitch with the fucking... Sorry. I was in pitch with the fucking cups. Fuck you for shitting on my bass. Dare you.
That's too easy. All the monetization for YouTube, it has to be family friendly.
That's exactly... Not only that, but the, you raise me up just a little bit. But because I'm feeding it to his. I know I'm screaming, but at the same time... What? I swear to God. I swear to God. I swear to God. I'm going to clamp your nipples.
Couldn't pass it up.
Bravo, sir. Bravo, sir. Well done. Great clap.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Hyper Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We
are our band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends.
About the nerdy things we love.
And geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the Hype!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast, where we weigh in on the latest nerd news, pop culture, and Joker movies. That's what we've been talking about here. I'm Doug. I'm here, as always, with Isaac, Rudy, and Jermaine.
What's up?
Hi.
So, we were talking about Joker, which we're going to go into further with our topic this week, which is villains that deserve their own movie or show or some sort of, you know, spotlight.
And why, after this debacle, none of them will ever get a movie ever again? except for the two penguin.
The penguin is fucking right now. Killing it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Sony backs you, evidently.
Yeah, yeah. They went all in on that. I didn't even think about that because I haven't seen any of them.
What else could we
know? That said, we always start off the shows with what are we hyped about this week. So, guys, fellas.
I'll take it. Bleach. The anime, its third part is finally here. They're releasing them in like 12 episode batches. And they call them Coors. I don't know why.
Coors?
Yeah, C O U R S.
Oh, not like the beer.
Not like the beer. I don't know why. I haven't looked up that actual name to see if it has any significance in Japanese. But whatever it is, it jumped right back into its action. It's the animation is just fucking beautiful, and they're getting into like powers that are like super weird and like just look really good on screen.
I love that.
Super excited about that shit coming back.
The 12 episodes, is this an anime that like those 12 episodes are like four good ones or like all 12 are story driven?
Oh no, they're all
nice.
All of them are just a story. There's no filler in there.
Not following a caterpillar for three episodes or something like that.
What's that that Sum 41 album? All killer, no filler.
Oh, nice. Good pull.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Bazinga.
Jermaine?
Wow.
Man, I'm going to throw some more on that Bleach.
S'mores.
So.
Gets the COVID out of your system.
I love the opening. You can tell that the animation that they up the ante on everything. And like Rudy said, that they just jumped right back in the story, like immediately where they left off, and just that scene. I mean, I forget his name off the top of my head, but where he was like, I opened my eyes and I could see. Just that little scene right there just made me clutch my pearls. Oh.
The main villain, Yuha Bak?
Yeah. But the powers that they're giving you in this, and you just think that, man, like, what else can they bring? Like, the imagination of Bleach is one of the things that I'm gravitated to, because you've seen so many different powers from Marvel to DC, you know, all throughout the anime universe, but the way that Bleach, like, comes up with these things, like, you sit there and you're like, oh no, this guy's already maxed out. Like, there's no way they can come up with something clever or more to show how elevated this guy is. And it's just the little simple things that he's like, I opened my eyes for the first time. I'm like, oh, so you were fighting blind this whole time? And it's just that little moment right there to just, like, my mind is just destroyed from everything that they give us because it's just so good. So that's really what I'm hyped about. Like, I love Bleach to death, and I'm glad that they came back and finished the story for the fans because, damn, we needed it.
Nice.
That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac, Doug, what you got?
I get around to watching it. This weekend, I'm going to check out The Terrifier 3. Mm. All of our family have 16 of us. We looked into it. We're like, fuck. We should have just ran out of the theater. It would have been cheaper by a couple bucks. So, like, next big event, if there's, like, more than 10 of us, we'll fucking do it.
You know, that's a good number to know.
Yeah.
I never really looked into, like,
what a small theater is, like, about $200.
Okay.
So, like, math-wise, whatever, it's, like, $10, $12 a ticket. Yeah. Not doing the fucking mash shit in here again.
Look intently at the camera for, like, 3 seconds.
Oh, you're going to do them.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Perfect. But... You know, an episode or two ago, we were talking about things that are, like, overhyped. Mm-hmm. And then this one's big and a bit of overhyped. That's, like, in, I don't know if it was in the UK or whatever, they're, like, people are walking out on the screening. They're throwing up.
Every horror movie. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Every horror
movie. Yeah. But I was, like.
All the time. They're just trying to get you.
I know. Right. I'm already going to see it.
You'll literally shit your pants.
If I don't bring fucking some toilet paper out there with some Hershey squirts, I'm going to be mad.
A little mud butt.
But, like. I already know generally, like, the feel of the movie. I love Terrifier 2. I don't remember reading any kind of, like, overhype or anything like that. So I'm like, I'm in. I'm locked in. I'm going to see it. I'm going to enjoy it. How can it really be bad, you know? Because it's already kind of in that B realm.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're not going to enjoy the vibe of the movie, but the overhype.
That. And I'm like, it's like, the first 10 minutes, I go, well, now I'm expecting that. That being said, if you've not seen Terrifier 2, there is a really brutal scene, and I've seen a lot of fucking brutal scenes, and this one had me going, ooh, have you seen Terrifier 2?
No, anybody? I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, shit.
Actually, my goal for this Halloween season is probably to go back and watch some of the classics that I haven't seen or I haven't seen in a long time. I've recently watched a couple, like, newer horror movies, but now I want to go back.
But, like, there's so many of them that you go, like, do you watch? It's like with Star Wars. You're like, are you watching this timeline and that timeline? And you go, oh, God.
What kind of classics are you thinking about?
Hellraiser. I haven't seen that. I want to go watch, like, the reboot classic. Wasn't bad. Okay. Yeah. Classic Nightmare. Classic. I've seen Friday the 13th a few times, so I don't need to rewatch that. But I don't think I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street in a long, long time. And then, I don't know, some of the fun ones. Maybe Leprechaun or Trick or Treat. I haven't seen Trick or Treat. I don't know if that's a classic, but...
Yeah, no, we covered that.
That's a cult classic.
Yeah. We covered that one on YHST, and I forgot that we actually had seen it, so whoops. But that one's a really fun movie because it's, like, consists of about, what, 4 or 5 vignettes.
Nice.
And from anything from, like, supernatural to just straight-up murder. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I think you enjoy it.
Yeah, I just watched the latest VHS. That was neat.
Yeah, you were mentioning about that. That
it was, like, alien-themed.
Corridor Digital had a bit that they worked on in there?
Yeah, because it was doing the whole, like, fake documentary about alien footage and stuff like that. So Corridor Digital was there to, like, determine whether some of the footage was real or not.
That's great. Oh, I like the first VHS was wonderful. Everything else was all right after that. But so watching Terrifier 3, excited for that. Penguin has been subverting some expectations.
Yeah, 3 episodes out and they're all really, really good.
That third one, anybody caught up? Everybody caught up?
I haven't started yet.
God, you trash.
I'm watching From, so I'm sorry.
He dies at the end, by the way, from. Mm-hmm. But Penguin has been like, it was almost feeling like, you know, like a Sopranos kind of thing. And it really separated itself from being like a comic book show. And where it's the character focus on episode 3, which was the kid.
Vic.
Yeah. And like God damn. I mean, I'll just generalize it. It was just really fucking good. It was just really, really good. And, like, pull at some heartstrings and certain character dynamic between, what is it, Sophie and Oz was just so wonderful. And you get, like, more layers of who the Penguin really is. It's cleverly written. It's Fuck, it's really good. It's really good. I think you should watch it. Yeah, that's it. That's my stuff.
I do like how they're weaving the movie into the the show, just to, you know, set up the world.
How impactful was that scene?
That was like, I'm like, what the hell is happening? And I'm like, oh shit, it's a flashback.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of things that happen in the Penguin that happens during the daytime?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it a lot during the daytime or more like where you get a balance?
It's a combo. Mm. Yeah. He talks to Bruce.
Why? Trying to figure out why Batman is in there fucking shit up.
Well, it's just a lot of things that I've been hearing because I haven't seen it yet. And I'm like, I wonder if that's the reason. So I was just curious to say, because of things happening a lot during the day, you know, maybe that's why the bat's not out yet.
So far, that would be my one complaint, just as a comic book fan, as a nerd fan, is like there's a lot of talk between the different gangs and like the fear between them all. And like they'll mention like the Riddler, you know, like, oh, the Riddler didn't fuck things up or whatever. But there's not that little fear of the bat that I wouldn't mind. I think there was a moment in this last episode where, I feel like there was a moment in one of the episodes where it would have been a perfect time to just kind of drop that, like, and we got this bat guy running around. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
But now, granted, I think we talked about for the Batman, the movie, it was like year two Batman. So, I mean, he'd been around, and the first episode of the Penguin, he's in, they mention him in the news broadcast, like, oh, the Batman saving people or whatever like that. But yeah, so far there hasn't been any mentioning or anything like that of him, which, I mean, it'd be cool if they...
My headcanon is that he's so busy still, you know, helping people out, rescuing people, and like leading kind of like the charge on that he's not really focused on the underworld at the moment. So they're kind of like, let's do all this shit. He's looking the other way, or, you know.
Everything happening with the Falcons and everything, it's not ramped up to where the bat's got to step in. Like, they're not... you know, committing so many fucking heinous crimes and killing people and whatever. Plus that with the
and there's
the
so much there's so much up. Upheaval in all those families too. So that's not they're not and they're no more focused on each other than actually, you know, committing crimes against the populace.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Them attacking each other, I think, is a major. And we'll get into it with our topic about villains shows and stuff like that. I think that's kind of a key aspect to making a villain show that actually might work. Is like. They're villainous, but they're not killing civilians and innocents like as much. Because then you get into like weird, like fetishization of killing innocents and stuff like that. I don't know, we can cut that out. I was random.
No, but that, I mean, that's kind of like what we were talking about with the Joker one, where it's fetishizing
that
giving people boners.
Anyway, Doug, wrap it up. What are you excited for?
Oh, I'm hyped about the DCU stuff. James Gunn, they finally, I mean, we learned a couple weeks ago who's going to play Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern series, but we also learned, and it's the guy from Friday Night Lights, I forget his name. And then they announced today, fuck, I just looked up his name, like Aaron Pierre?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's playing Jon Stewart. I was really, I think there was a little rumor about John Boyega playing Jon Stewart. I was like, oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but, I kind of heard it whispered.
Like Aaron Pierre, I think, looks great for the spot. I haven't seen any of his movies. I've been wanting to watch that Ridge.
I watched it last
Rebel
week.
Rebel
last
Ridge.
Last weekend.
Was it good?
It was good.
Nice. Yeah, I'll check it out. Now that he's going to be Jon Stewart, I'll check it out.
Kyle Chandler?
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, he's going to be Hal Jordan. I like it. I think Coach it's a great Dad. Choice. Yeah. And especially because I think he's going to be playing like an older Green Lantern in the series. And so it's like, all right, he's going to be just giving those Friday Night Light pep talk coach things. I'm for it. I love it. And then he teased someone for Peacemaker today, too, which I'm kind of trying to figure out what that picture is. Maybe we can put it up in the square here that I'm talking about. And
got you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so DCU stuff. I think there's some more footage from the Creature Commandos. I'm just excited. I think it'll be cool to see a cinematic universe for a comic book franchise that's going to start off in the very beginning with that in mind. It's going to be something fresh and something new. And
something borrowed, something blue.
yeah, Superman's.
That's all supposed to launch 2025, right?
Yeah, I think Creature Commando is going to be... Creature Commando might be this year, I forget. But that's the one, it's like the weird thing where like technically the first DCU, but they're saying Superman's launching the DCU stuff, so who knows?
It's the soft launch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Should we talk about Joker? Can we talk about Joker more?
Yeah, you gotta
talk. Absolutely.
All right.
I look at you like, Rudy, is that okay?
Go ahead.
Use the Joker. He hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah,
he's a piece of shit.
Because we're just... Yeah. Oh, no, I'm waiting until that shit drops.
Fucking poser. Seriously.
It looks... The visuals and certain shots from the trailer
look
good. But
amazingly acted and well shot, yeah.
Lady Gaga, I'm not going to say Lady Gaga, but... wasn't bad.
Like, I honestly just... Like, I just had no interest in watching this one. Like, I can wait.
Yeah, I liked your review. I was thinking about making my own video, but I don't know, my algorithms right now is just everyone talking about Joker.
Did you see my cousin's review? She was the one right before yours. Like the only you guys.
Oh, the comment.
People. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I hated it. I'm like, all right, it's either camps.
That and the people that aren't going to see it because it's a musical, which is like it's. I get it. People don't like musicals.
I'm one that do not really care for musicals, and I was like.
It's weird to me because it's like when they make a Batman like kids cartoon. Granted, we kind of shat on the Christmas one, but we still weren't actively going to the comments. Like, I was never mad that they made it.
Right.
Right. I was never like, oh, this should have been a live action adult movie. It's like, no, they made a cartoon for kids. Like, that's the thing. And so it's like, even this, it's like, okay, it's a musical. All right, if you don't want to watch a musical, that's fine. Move on. Move on with your fucking life. Like,
no, that's why it made, barely $40 million?
I think $40 million. I think it's barely sad. 40. And, like, I hate sounding so, I guess, pretentious as the world. Like, the whole idea of, like, people who are hating it didn't understand it. I hate saying that, but I think there is... if you didn't know it was going to be a musical and you don't like musicals, obviously you're going to hate it. And like the pacing and stuff was a little slow.
Yeah.
But and that's my problem with almost all musicals is at some point I'm into the plot and I'm into like what's happening next. And then like I just find myself waiting for a song to end, especially if the song's not moving the plot forward.
But does it feel like, because we know I haven't seen it, but does it feel almost... Because we knew Joker was only supposed to be the one and done, and because it made $1 billion that they decided to make it, does it feel like it's almost like a betrayal to like what
the source material?
No, like not even the story, but kind of. The avenue that it went down this route, because all the people who watched the first one, does it just feel like they just changed up too much?
Yes, on purpose.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that was the meta message.
It was very intentional. It was Joker versus the people and their fetishization.
Fetishization.
Because Harley Quinn kind of was like a Joker as opposed to just being like Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, where the movie ended up going, mm-hmm. They really nailed in that particular message of he did a thing because of his own personal reasons and everything, mm-hmm. unfortunate reasons. So his that whole character arc is really interesting in the first one, and that's what people could relate to. But unfortunately, people also glommed on to like, yeah, I wish I could fucking commit violence. You're like, oh, no, not that. And so with the second one, they're like, yeah, you can't do violence. You do have to stand trial for your shit. You're not a fucking hero. You're not even an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do have to pay for those crimes.
Yeah.
But also, you know, in the very end of the first one, he stands up and he's a martyr for, like, you know, everything going on. So that the Joker is a symbol, but he's still Arthur Fleck. So in this one, he's very much Arthur Fleck. And that whole Joker thing is such an amplified thing that people put on a pedestal, a symbol.
Yeah.
But he couldn't live up to the symbol.
I think they explored Gotham really, really well. I left that movie understanding why Gotham can be just a fucked up city that allows masked people and crazy clowns and everything. Like, they were so anxious for the Joker that I feel like I can understand how any of these crazy villains could get away with stuff and not be turned in, because I feel like everyone was so tired of the system that like they were ready to cheer for Joker. Mm-hmm. And which I mean, obviously is a huge metaphor for some of the stuff that's going on in the real world, but it totally made me just like understand why. I mean, and we saw it where, you know, they literally blew up the courthouse so they could try to free Joker. Like, so in that universe, because it is a what if story, right? Like, I think people need to realize that they're not telling us a full fledged DC universe Batman story.
So many people have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's totally a what if story, but in that world, like a Batman is eventually going to, you know, is going to be fighting a Gotham that like is on the side of the villains, right? Which I think is a kind of an interesting take, at least at that point, right? Maybe by the time Batman's old enough, because they established that Batman's still a young kid at this point.
What's so interesting though about this storyline, one, I love, by the way, I love Gotham in the 80s.
Yeah.
There's something about like analog Gotham that's, I don't know, like high tech stuff, like in The Batman, where the Riddler's on a fucking, you know, his like the live thing. You go, okay, yeah, I guess that's a way to upgrade it. But there's something about the fact that, and again, I will spoil it for everyone.
Everyone
is, I think that the villains coming to their own before Batman is such a flip from like the Dark Knight series, because the line was, you know, well, when you have a man dressed as a bat, then you have all these other clowns popping up, right? So this is a complete flip of that. Mm-hmm. That Batman is then created because there's so many of these like fucking wild ass people. Now the spoil is, are you ready for this? I'm gonna do it. Okay, is that the Joker, the Arthur Fleck, needed to die in order for the image or the
idea
of the Joker to live. And the fact that he was killed by a complete fucking maniac who then carves his own face up to embody the Joker that everyone was falling in love with was huge. We're never going to see a sequel to that movie. We're never going to see it fully fleshed out. But the fact that they did that was super bold. And as much as you kind of fell in love with the Arthur Fleck character, although he's a fucking maniac, it needed to go there. It absolutely needed to go there.
And it was interesting because the carving his face, one, a lot of people missed it because it happened in the background, out of focus, right? So a lot of people missed it because they're focused on Arthur Fleck dying, which was taking up the major of the shot and the majority of the shot. So that sucks that a lot of people miss it. Two, a lot of people just thought it was just a bullshit Easter egg to Heath Ledger. Some people thought that it was, oh, see, that's Heath Ledger. Like, this ties directly into the Dark Knight stuff. Again, all bullshit, all fucking stupid. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It does, not everything needs to connect in that
way. It absolutely was the idea of, one, you could almost take it as like a supernatural, like the Joker is this chaotic entity that was released into Gotham, and we're seeing it just kind of get passed along. But more realistically, I think it was just like, yeah, that city was ready for it. I think Harley Quinn knew it was ready for it, and that's why she was. I love the fact that she wasn't just some love struck bimbo. She mm-hmm. was very much knew what she was doing. She saw the opportunity to light the fire that Gotham needed, according to her, in by trying to convince Arthur Fleck that no, he's the Joker. Do it. You are the Joker. Turns out he wasn't, as he admitted in the courtroom. And then so to see someone else kind of just step up, as you said, it had to happen. Like, mm-hmm. nope, all right, you're not the Joker. Cack, 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 you're dead.
It really was.
Slash, slash.
It happened just like that?
Yeah,
it really sound did. Effect and everything.
And then, you know, so it's like that idea of like, yeah, the Joker lives on. I think there's commentary to be made that like once an idea like that, like even like a cult like following, because that's what the Joker had. It was a cult like following, both in the universe of the show and the real world, our world. He has this cult like following. I think it's kind of important to show that, like, look, even if a mass of people are following one person, even if that person were to die, it's like ultimately the person doesn't matter. It's the idea.
It's the movement.
It's the idea. So even if that person comes out, and we've seen it, you know, we've talked about conspiracy theories where even some people that start conspiracy theories eventually be like, oh, I made this shit up. And people will be like, fuck off, we don't care, we're still going to believe it. And I think that's kind of what it was showing, was like, all right, you came out in court, admitted that you're not the Joker, and you're just some crazy guy that killed six people. That's fine, whatever, we'll kill you, and we'll still keep believing our conspiracy or our thoughts.
Well, also, too, like, you know, Arthur was poor, and the system was against him, and, he lashed out because he was being bullied. So the fact that Harley Quinn is actually rich, and she committed herself into Arkham and is studying to be a psychiatrist, like, wait, you are part of the problem, and then you're going to fucking be a victim to the Joker idea, and then you're going to embody it? And so it's just this thing that gets twisted.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, there was a ton of nuance in the first Joker movie, and a lot of people liked it. And there's a ton of nuance in this movie, too, and people didn't respond as much to it. And all the complaints I hear is like, oh, well, the Joker wouldn't do this, or Harley Quinn was the character. And I'm like, well, this isn't a straight retelling of that story. It's to use the Elseworlds phrase, no one really knows outside of, you know, us nerds what that means, but it's a different story. It's a different take. And just the people that liked the first movie and just totally rejected the second movie, I'm like, it's supposed to be subversive. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to, the first one lit up all these issues, and the second one kind of put a spotlight on the bad things people took away from the first one.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's not the point they were trying to make. And
I'll be the final judge of that.
If you get around to watching it.
It's weird how much the people that hate it absolutely hate it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the musical aspect, right? We have to touch on that. People were not happy that it was going to be a musical, which I get. Everyone has their things. But I will say the musical aspect of this movie made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I've watched a musical where it wasn't, you didn't have to suspend disbelief in order to accept it, right? Because normally a musical, it's like, oh, we have to accept this high school just breaks out in a fucking song and dance when there's a test or a basketball game or something. That's not how this was, right? In the first movie, we established that Arthur Fleck was delusional and obsessive. And in this movie, the first time he sees Harley Quinn, which he obviously fell in love with immediately, was in a singing class. Mm-hmm. So it, like, unlocks this fucking new delusion, like level two of everything song and dance. So the majority of the musical numbers in the show, in the movie, were in his mind. So, which is like, okay, so Harley Quinn in a dance, in a singing class, unlocked. Okay, this is how now he sees the world, is a musical. So the majority of them were in his mind, and then the few musical numbers that existed in the world of the movie was Harley Quinn manipulating them.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, by the way, like, as far as going touch it back to the first Joker, he was always doing something related to music through his, like, weird ballet dancing. So this, like, had more of an inspiration and take form into what it did.
Yeah. The seed was already there.
Mm-hmm. There you go,
yeah. And we saw that. And so I think it's a shame that I think a lot of people miss that. And a lot of people aren't even going to see it because it's a musical. And I've already started telling people, it's like, it's not a musical in that same way of, like, oh, God, these people are just randomly singing. Like, it fits and it works. Some of the numbers are very long, mm-hmm. and you're ready for it to get, like, to end, so you can get back to the story. Too. But
does it resemble, like, the musical notes and, like, or the musical numbers and when everything happened? Does it kind of resemble Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch?
In a way, but same, but different. I mean, like, Sucker Punch didn't really have... in his director's cut, there was the one musical number. But it is that same kind of idea, I guess, of, like, escaping reality but instead of showing us some cool, schoolgirls killing giant samurais, it was showing us some dancing on a stage. But
some of that was also seeded, as far as Joker fully do, is when he's getting walked out in the opening sequence and they have the umbrellas. It's like the top view and they're different colored umbrellas. Cut to, you know, if it kind of, like, calms down a little bit. the music's out of his head, and then it's like Black Umbrellas. So,
yeah.
So, like, his delusion, he is still an unreliable narrator.
Yeah. And there's still scenes in this movie that, like, you look at it, it's like, did that really happen? Is that a thing? Harley Quinn's ultimate, like, where she ends up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did she kill herself? They showed her put a gun to her head.
That's great. I didn't fucking think about that.
They show Arthur talking to her at the end, but she could very well not be there.
So it could either be that, right? Because it was very on the nose of, like, she was so bummed out about what was happening. It could either be that, or because she ends up basically staying in the same place he's staying, his apartment. It's just her coming to her realization of, like, oh, maybe I'm not going to kill myself. Just like in his moment of, like, I need to be a symbol, so I'm going to be this, and ends up not killing herself, and then just becoming, you know, a better version of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
I did get that same feeling when she showed up in his cell. I'm like, oh shit, is this fool?
Oh, when he banged her?
Yeah, is this fool like making the shit up again?
That he's scene masturbating. Was hot.
masturbating.
Rubbing against the wall.
Yeah, and anyway. that's the fun of it. And again, I hate to be that pretentious asshole. It's like, oh, people, you just don't get it, blah, blah, blah. Because obviously not every movie is going to be for everybody. And I think maybe that's the best fucking part of it, is this is the reminder that they don't need to make every comic book movie for everybody. Because if you make a movie for everybody, it's going to fucking suck, right? Just like anything else, if you make something for everybody, it's going to be bland and generic, right? Like, if you're making food for a party, like... Just put out the pretzels. Everyone likes pretzels.
Like, do you think the first Joker was for everybody?
The first Joker, no. I don't know if it necessarily was. I mean, when the first Joker was announced, I think there was a lot of people that were just like, we don't want the Joker, right? Oh, he's not supposed to have a name. Right. You're not supposed to know who he is. And then it came out, and I think everyone liked it because it was done really well. And it was and then of course there was the weird, like, idolization of the Joker from people. You know, I think a lot of your quote-unquote men's right activists were trying to turn him into a symbol for, like, the men's health issues that people don't want to talk about, which, I mean, it very well might kind of have been, like, touching on that point, but I think ultimately it was still kind of an exploration and just weird cult followings of people that shouldn't be followed.
That, and I think what worked with the first Joker, just a generalization, is that all of those components, story, score, I think Michael Giacchino did it, acting was great, it's a different idea, the look of it, some familiarity, just all of that worked very well. But at its base, as far as, like, the people that related to it in the wrong way, the thing that I could relate to it, unfortunately, was the bad mental health. You know, like, you're trying to do your best, and then the line in his book, in his journal, was, people tell you to be good as if you're not, is super impactful for me. You know, there's a lot of moments where, you know, people tell me to calm down or to be a certain way, and I'm like, I am. I'm trying, but you don't know how hard I am. How hard I'm trying.
But we'd like to.
And so, you know, like, as he's by himself, he is just tormented by society not accepting him, as well as just not helping him. That is something that is extremely relatable. Depression is super relatable, unfortunately. Suicide is super relatable, unfortunately. I think the suicide hotline number is 988. That is just, it's the thing that maybe nobody talks about. Maybe no one's going to openly be like, yeah, I like the movie because I also am feeling those thoughts. Maybe no one's going to openly say that, but it's that thing that, for me, as I was watching it, I go, yeah, oof, it does look like that. It does feel like that, you know? And... not to say that I'm gonna be like, yay, the Joker, I'll dress up as him, but just as far as, like, the it being relatable, I don't know. So the second one didn't have that level of, like, relatability. Yes, it was all musical numbers and everything, but I you said it. Any movie doesn't need to be for everybody. I liked that it went where it went. I liked that it kind of slammed the original. Fans of the movie, you know, Now, do I think it was as intentional to say that Todd Phillips is like, look, if it tanks, it tanks? I don't know. But you know, you had said it, like, it did feel very intentional.
I don't think they were trying to tank it.
No.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised that the critic scores are as low as they are. Audience scores being low, I understand.
Dude, totally. 33% of Rotten Tomatoes. Again, that Rotten Tomatoes has a lot of weight to it, but still, that's like an extremely low score.
Yeah, because for something that was so well acted and...
again, with its messages and symbolisms, and you would think critics would go like, yeah, but yeah, they're literally the same.
I can't wait to watch it. Tell you guys, you guys are fucking wrong.
I mean, like, we're talking about villain movies. We're talking about villain movies here, and I think
now I'm excited to watch it.
Like the ending, not him getting killed, not the explosion and stuff like that, but again, the courtroom ending of him. So what happens is he ultimately just admits, like, because after all this pressure to say he had split personality, that was what his lawyer was trying to tell him. And Harley Quinn trying to tell him, like, no, you're the Joker. Like, it's not supposed to split personality. This is who you are. Like, and they want, like, that whole movement wanting the symbol that, to ultimately him just saying, no, I'm Arthur Fleck and I killed 6 people. And, you know, Harley Quinn walks out of the courtroom, like, they're disappointed. And I, because this is a villain story, like, I feel like it's important because it's like, okay, now we're seeing consequences and we're not giving him an excuse, and I think that's what maybe is unsettling for people that were idolizing him or something. Totally. Like that is like, wait, there is consequences for this. Like, it's not some random thing. It's like, this is a guy that killed people, and he should face fucking consequences for it.
And a lot of credit to Todd Phillips for deciding to do that, because you said, like, we can't really do a Magneto doing what he's doing because, well, people are gonna fantasize about all this. And just for him to go, oh shit, oh, that's not what the first movie was supposed to be, let's kind of course correct it, is really smart of him and really very responsible. Maybe not financially. He's buying his tickets now. Look at him go.
Yeah. God, there was something more I wanted to say, but I'm... That fucking cider, we should have never opened it. No, or seltzer, sorry.
I don't think that it just from what it was trying to do, I think that it was a really good movie, but I don't think it's like a cinematic masterpiece. I might want to revisit it.
I know what I was gonna say. Go ahead.
No,
oh, well, I was gonna say, like,
fuck what I was saying.
Normal,
forget about it. I'll just forget what I'm saying then, Doug. You go first. I'm just
going to go. Someone else can talk, and then you can figure it out. I was going created the cycle.
Nowhere else.
I've created the cycle. No. So, I mean, that's what I was going to say. So we're talking about villains. We're talking about the stories that they tell. Like, so normally storytelling, you're like a courtroom drama, of course, usually you're waiting for the defendant to get off, right? Like the big moment where they finally, like, admit or they break the case or something like that. Or not, maybe not necessarily different. Your protagonist, your story. And so I think that was the moment that I felt like it started to fumble, was because he didn't get off. He didn't win the court case, right? Like, you're used to hearing the not guilty, and then the sigh of relief and like the thing, like, and so it was so, I don't want to say the word subversive, but it was so just shocking to see him like pull up the chair and then just fucking lay it out in real, and you knew it was like, well, he lost the case, like he's gonna get fucking fried. Now, granted, then there was the explosion and blah blah blah, but I think at that moment it was just so like, that's not where I was expecting it to go, that's not where it should have gone from a storytelling point of view, like, but we're not telling a hero story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the cool aspect of telling a villain story, is like, it's not going to go where you expect it to go, because it should go the way of the hero, which is not this guy.
It's a great point.
But what did you think, that because this is a Gotham story, I'm just saying because I haven't seen it, obviously, but the villains get locked up all the time. So was it like that much of a shock that he was guilty, because they, you know,
well, I'm just saying he was guilty because he admitted it.
Yeah.
Right, like, I mean, obviously, because Harvey Dent's in it. I'm just gonna spoil everything. Harvey Dent's in it. He's the, yeah. Which there was the fun little Two-Face at the end from the explosion. But even that moment, I felt like I could see how Harvey Dent could snap even there. Like, oh, he's just trying to do his job. Shit. Like, he's trying to lock up a guy that that killed six people or five people, but then he admits to a sixth, his mom. And I could see how Harvey Dent could be sitting there fucking half burnt and go like, yeah, yeah, fuck this fucking city. Fuck everything. Like, fuck the system.
I forgot to write that one on my list. I want them to do a live action Hush story.
Before Hush would be another one that, like, yeah, you'd have to have a few Batman stories under your belt.
Hmm.
Because Hush came in. Hush was like Bruce Wayne's brother or something, right?
Oh, I thought he was Harvey Dent. Am I thinking of something else?
Wasn't he a guy that just
he was in the same social circles as Bruce?
Oh yeah, but he
because just, he just
modified himself.
Certainly, yeah, modified his face.
What the hell am I thinking of?
No. So Two-Face. Hush,
right?
Hush.
Two-Face and Hush are different characters.
Hush has his face.
But there was the whole aspect of Hush's first appearance was like, they didn't know who he was, and there was like, they were playing off, like, at one point it was like he thought it was Jason Todd, right, or something, but that ended up being Clayface. Like, I don't, I've read that story so long ago, but I think there was playing off the idea that Hush was maybe possibly Harvey Dent or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay, because in the DC animated movie, now I'm conflating the damn story. It might have been Hush like fucking with Harvey Dent, and Harvey Dent was starting to snap.
Mm.
But I'd like to see Harvey Dent's solo origin. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, at the end of the day, I think Joker is going to be one of those movies that is worth a watch, and I hope people think about it. And even the critics, I feel like maybe they should rewatch it, because I don't know. I find it hard to believe that the critic score is that low. Or they just don't like musicals.
Have you guys watched the first Joker a lot?
No, I watched it the one time.
Since the theater?
I think twice. It's one of those movies that is hard to watch multiple times, mm-hmm, because it's so depressing.
Yeah.
And relatable for all those reasons. You know, yeah, you don't just go like, boy, everyone's coming over for a party, let's put the Joker on.
Yeah, I rarely rewatch anything these days, just because there's so much content, and World of Warcraft. That was life. Fuck you. No, I rarely rewatch anything, but I do think about that. Like, oh, would I rewatch this? Maybe not. I don't know. Like,
I wonder what it would feel like, though, once it comes out and watching these two
in sequence. I wouldn't mind watching them back to back. Yeah. Because nowadays,
we come back, we go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's
like, yeah. Nowadays, like, the rewatchability is not necessarily even as much of a metric as it was for me. Because I look at The Penguin, like, I'm loving The Penguin. I don't know if I'd watch it again.
Well, what's so fascinating about movies in general, because kind of, you know, YHSD, I kind of use this in it a bit when I'm actually doing like a full movie breakdown where I am a fan of the movie and I've grown up with it and I watch it multiple times, and then someone new watches it and they go, okay. You're like, but didn't you see the thing? They go, no, I don't know. Okay. You know, so I don't know what's going with that.
That said, we're going to talk about villains now.
All right. Yeah. Great segue.
Baited pause. Yeah, December. Creature Commanders.
I will segue with that. So obviously our topic is like, what villains, because we've seen the success with The Penguin and then like the semi, not really success at all of Joker.
The unsuccess.
In my mind is success.
They didn't make $1 billion, fuck.
Yeah. So speaking of Green Lanterns, my immediate... Well, I had actually had our time with this topic, because my immediate response is like, oh, this character. And then it's like, well, I guess like all villains could make for an interesting show, but like, what ones would really work?
I had a problem when I was approaching this. I was like, how many villains really work without their heroes to play off against?
Exactly.
Like, and a lot of the ones that I put on my list were like, well, it would be interesting to see how they became villainous as opposed to a straight villain story where they're already established in the universe, right, but without the hero.
That was, yeah, I struggled with both of those approaches.
Yeah.
Origin was easy. Like, origin stories are always easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, origin stories are
like a year one type thing.
Easy, but then at the same time, I think you can't escape, like, other than, I guess, this last Joker, though some people did, you sympathize with the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes like they're no longer this easy villain to hate, because then it's like, oh, well, actually, he just had a bad childhood or something. Whatever the origin was going to be.
I think that's what makes a fun villain, because, you know, we're going down the list. I'm like, Loki, oh, they did that. Like, even a likable villain is fun.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about on the show how, like, right now we live in this world where a lot of our movies are in that gray area where the heroes aren't fully heroes. And the I still think there's a space for, no, this villain's a bad guy. And like, so I thought of Sinestro, which is a villain to the Green Lantern story. And I think it'd be, like, a great movie because he actually starts off as a Green Lantern. So, like, you could kind of start it there, like, midway through where he loses faith with the Guardians and they, you know, send him to the antimatter universe Quard, where he picks up the yellow ring, which is based off of fear, and comes back. I mean, like, there's a lot
you can chosen one. No.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot you can do with it. I don't know if you would even consider it a villain movie at that time, though. It'd just be like an introduction into it, and it wouldn't really be like that genre, which is my, like, a lot of the villains I thought of. It's like, oh, it's not really even a villain movie because it's like this beginning part. But that was my first thought with Sinestro.
Not in the, the superhero realm, because I sectioned off into, like, you know, comic book villains, horror, movie, and shows. And the one that I was really floating around with, as far as, like, he is very unlikable, but because of how he's kind of, like, portrayed, it's so fascinating and kind of new with a bad haircut, which is Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men, played by Javier Bardem. Hmm.
That was on a lot of lists that I saw when I was researching.
Yeah, oh, it was, like, fucking top of the list.
Like, everyone wanted to see more of him.
Now, he didn't die.
Cow punching people.
Yeah, flipping a coin. Who else does it?
Two-Face.
That's the guy. But, you could explore that character. You could still hate him. He could still be doing heinous things, but maybe following him. I don't know. I'm not a fucking writer. I've said this a fuckload of times. I don't know how to fucking write it. But I think as far as, like, somebody that deserves, because that's the topic, is who deserves to have a standalone thing, if not a series. That one that just jumped out of my head because everyone loved to hate him. And I want to see what good writers, Sony, fuck, would do with an interesting character like that.
That's kind of it. I mean, I feel like that's kind of different because that's not like a continuing universe. That's not an established character. So I think in that realm of taking any movie and finding the villain and then, like, let's do a backstory, let's do a side story, a sequel or whatever, I think that works. Again, with good writers, apparently not the Sony writers. They've done good stuff. Shut up. But
not with villains.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Kraven coming out when the fuck is coming out.
But even then, though, I haven't watched any of them, but even then they're trying to create the Sinister Six, you know, but they're trying to make them all anti-heroes, so they're supposed to be villains, but you like them because they want to market them, which is where all of this kind of, like, that's where stuff like the Penguin and the Joker were surprising, because it's like, you can't market that. Like, you can't sell. Mm. I mean, I'm sure they did sell Joker toys or whatever, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like I've said, I think that's why even, like, Star Wars, a lot of the Sith and the villains in Star Wars are becoming more gray, because you got to sell those toys and people don't want to buy evil shit.
I do.
Don't we? Yeah, I know, don't we?
Yeah.
People dressing up as Art the Clown and Michael Myers.
Jermaine, you got any?
I've always wanted to see, because I'm such a
sweetheart
Superman fan. No. The journey of I was about to say Darkseid, of Doomsday.
Yes.
From prehistoric Krypton, how you had the scientist just kept cloning this baby and he kept throwing him out there and the baby kept getting shredded apart by the creatures, and then he kept cloning him. Kept throwing him out there, and each time he would get stronger and stronger. You know, that's like his ability. You know, so what kills him can't kill him again. So, in my mind, I don't know if I would, like, you know, have Doomsday, of course, you know, as the main character, because he doesn't really, like, talk. You know what I'm saying? So you would have to have him show up on certain planets. So, in his journey where he gets sent off and shot into space, because he kills, of course, his you know, creator who kept doing all that stuff to him. But he landed on Oa. He fought the Green Lanterns, you know. So before he got to Earth, he had so many battles to the point where when he got there, that's why he was so strong. And it took Superman, you know, everything, or he had to give everything to defeat Doomsday. But, you know, he went to Apocalypse. It would just be cool to get these random stories throughout his journey. Oh, you know, on Apocalypse, you're seeing Doomsday, I mean, Darkseid, like, plan something for the future, you know, like what's going to happen in, like, the DC, but all of a sudden Doomsday comes in and they got to deal with that. And then, you know, he shoots him off, and then he goes to Oa, you know, where you're seeing, you know, the Green Lantern, they got to deal with that. And then it's just a thing that's just in the background of, like, the DC cinematic universe. This is happening, but it's making its way to Earth. Mm-hmm. But you're just seeing everybody battle this thing on its journey to Earth. And then, of course, you know, it'll finally get there. And then, you know, it's the showdown between Superman and everybody else.
Doomsday, I think, is a great example of how a cinematic universe and multiple movies and stuff can work to make a movie about Doomsday, even with the fact that he doesn't speak or anything like that. You couldn't do it off the bat because the impact of seeing Darkseid and the lanterns and everything, assuming you're dealing with a blank audience, right? Yeah. Who doesn't know anything about the DC universe. But if you've introduced some of these characters and these worlds through other movies, and then you release that movie that's just showing this fucking beast. And we've talked about maybe, you know, even it'd be cool as, like, the post credit scenes to the DC movies. But even if they just wanted to release a Doomsday movie, and after they've already established, like, these worlds and stuff, and, like you said, just to see Doomsday kind of show up, and they could certainly use it to hint at future projects, but just seeing him just kick ass and destroy some of these characters that we've seen before. And while you're doing flashbacks of how he was developed or something, you know, like, I think it would make for a pretty interesting and obviously exciting and expensive movie to make.
Expensive. Yeah. Is that his established background, though? Like, he was prehistoric, so Kryptonian, and
he was a clone of Zod.
Beat the shit out of him a million times and,
like,
toughened him up.
Yeah, like, it was just an experiment that was being... So in the Zack Snyder BVS, Doomsday looked like, I forget the alien's name, but if somebody could look it up, but the prehistoric alien that was doing experiments on Doomsday, he looked kind of like what Doomsday looked like in BVS, his facial structure. So I know Zack Snyder was kind of just, you know, kind of
Easter egging it.
Yeah, because technically that wasn't the real Doomsday, but yeah, like, his origin story is he was just an experiment that was on prehistoric Krypton before any of the, you know, before the houses or anybody was there, and it was just him just getting torn apart by the prehistoric creatures of Krypton over and over again. And every time he died, they would just, the scientists, which I forget his name, but he would just get samples of him and just kept cloning him, and then just kept doing that because he was trying to create the perfect, like, weapon, the unstoppable weapon.
I had to stop myself. It was Dr. Doomsday. We were talking about Doomsday's monster.
Wow.
Yeah. Mashup.
Does anyone watch the Superman and Lois TV series?
Did you see how they did it?
No. Did they do a Doomsday?
They kind of did, like, a pseudo Doomsday. It was more like a... They took Bizarro and, like, kind of forced him to do that same kind of process.
Yeah,
And he came out looking like damn near Doomsday.
Mm-hmm. I love the interaction. It was like Lex, right? Lex asks him, he's like, "We can make you stronger. Let me kill you."
Yeah, I feel like, you know, because even BBS, like, I was shocked that they brought Doomsday into that, like, so early. And, like I said, the Doomsday story worked in the comics so well because Superman had been around for 60 years or whatever at that point.
Yeah, that's... You can't really see him.
Oh, yeah.
So it was... The origin of Doomsday came after the death of Superman because they just wanted to kind of show his journey on, like, how he became, you know, or how he was such a powerful being.
Yeah, and it worked because the Doomsday story was just like, who's this fucking thing? And it, you know, it was advertised back, you know, what is the 90s of just like Doomsday's coming or whatever. Yeah. And it was literally just comic after comic of just Doomsday fucking up Guy Gardner and other you know, heroes. And it works. It only works, I think, in that world of like established characters that we've seen. But Superman, I mean, like, you know, I know I'm a DC fan, but I think like a lot of the DC villains work really well for this whole thing.
I have a few written down.
Rudy hasn't contributed before I sidetrack, but
now he talks too much. Fucking let's go.
Yeah.
Fucking whatever.
We're better without him.
Wow.
So
speaking of villain,
I'm the villain.
I would love to see and like, I know this is more of like an ensemble type of thing, but Kill Bill, Bill and his assassination squad. Oh. I would love to see a little bit more of the, you know, the Deadly Viper assassination squad.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, that Bill down here.
Like they're all, you know, professional badasses, and I would love to see the journey, even if they don't do like an origin, but like, you know, them in their prime.
Totally, hey, I would love so that in
like ripping shit up, yeah,
in animated form.
They
could, like how they did it in the movie.
They absolutely do it that way, and like it would still be a high ticket draw. I think
so much. It should be only in that, not live action. It absolutely should be an animated.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Am I wrong? But probably. Was our first shot of Bill when he was revealed in animated form?
I don't think so.
It wasn't, right?
No. I think it was like maybe the back of him, or technically it was like his hand with a gun.
Yeah, I'm tripping.
This is me and my most sadistic. Bang!
Yeah, but that would be cool if he got that. Bling, 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 bling. That's a good one.
That's a damn good answer.
Was it sadistic or masochistic?
Clean. This is me and my most masochistic. Bling, 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 bling. Bang!
Now I gotta watch it again.
Yeah.
Or hey, listen to YHSD.
That's a damn good answer. I was just gonna say like Lex Luthor again, but
he's on my list as well.
Yeah, I think Luthor would be a good one because there's so much story to tell, and Superman doesn't even need to be. Like, I mean, Superman would probably have to be in the background or something, but I think there's enough to tell about Luthor trying to develop a technology or outcompete something. Like, there's a lot to tell there. I think that would work really, really well as a movie, not like a series. I think that's a one and done.
Like a story completely told from his perspective would be super interesting,
I think. Yeah, and they've done that in the comics. I think it was called Luthor, and I can't remember much of the story, but I think the artist, or at least the cover artist, was Lee Bermejo, who I really, really like. It was one of my favorite artists, so that's why I remember that.
Anyone with a hole in his name is okay in my book.
I think. Oh man, I'm going to instant fact check that because that. Yeah, it's probably wrong. Anyway, someone else talk while I do this.
What else you got? What else can I steal?
In the fantasy realm, Tom Riddle, Voldemort.
That I saw on a bunch list too, and I'm like, okay, because they did the whole series of movies was kind of like his past. They didn't really go into too much detail about like the first his first rise to power.
Do you feel like it'd be better in a series or a movie? I kind of would like a movie, just a self-contained movie. That's it. Not I think to flesh it out.
There's enough of his character out there already that they could do a movie and. People would be able to fill in the blanks so they wouldn't have to have a series length thing to like flesh everything out.
Like I would love to see, you know, as innocent as he ever was, his year one into Hogwarts and then moving on to like, when was the realization that he wanted to split his soul into 7 Horcruxes, you know, and then actually having the gall to fucking do that. Like I do want to see those emotional moments played out. So Tom Riddle.
Okay, so cadaver, would you want to have it? How would you want it to end? Would you want it to end like kind of like right where he tries to assassinate Harry Potter?
I want it to be that it goes to black, and then all of a sudden, like a purple wrap comes across his face, and he's behind. What's his, what's that one professor? Quibble, Quitch, whatever.
Yeah,
you know. I don't know.
The,
I don't know.
The turban guy.
Yeah,
I affectionately refer to him.
Yeah, year one of Hogwarts. I really hope it's like 45 minutes of them going, oh, I don't know, magic.
Shit, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I kind of would, it'd be like an anti-Harry Potter series of him, you know, going through his, the fuck was his name? His fucking schooling at Hogwarts, getting all the way up to Voldemort.
Have they ever explained, like, why, like, what pushed him or anything?
He was an asshole as a kid and just grew up to be an even bigger asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's written some good fanfic. Rejected by a girl. That's got to be it. Just rejected by a girl. Hogwarts incel.
He asked someone to the Yule Ball and he was...
Yeah.
He was...
And they were like...
Rejected like...
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he rejected the guys who wanted him to come to the gym. He's like, the gym is here for you, bro. And then he just walked out. He's like, nah, I'm going to get my revenge some other way. Oh, I have a good one though.
Oh yeah, let's hear it.
We'll be the judges of that.
So, because there's huge fans of this series in here, I would love to see a Rise to Power, a Roku Saki, a.k.a. the Shredder.
That's on my fucking list, too. Who's number two on my list?
I would love to see, like, how kind of, like, in detail of just him as a, you know, him probably as a kid, you know, growing up, and then... His, depending on how you do the origin story, you know, because depending on if
how they mutate and shit.
Yeah. Well, if the character, I forget his name, but who plays Splinter, if he's there and they have that type of rival, that rivalry growing up, or if it's just him, you know, solo, just trying to make his way. Through like the clans or whatever it is, but it's just I would just love to see like a legit, like, don't want to say hardcore, but just a cool story set in Japan, you know, with this secret organization, and then how he started off, and then how he gravitated towards the Foot Clan, and then it would kind of just start off or end probably where he either meets the character that is Splinter or his interaction with the Turtles for like the first time or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd kind of want to like rival students, him and Splinter,
that
however they do that, they do those characters from, you know, humble Crocs all the way up to full-fledged Foot, you know, ninjas.
I'm sorry, you say humble Crocs?
Yeah. Well, you have to have levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, booties, Crocs, wingtips, the Nikes.
I love it.
Keep going.
I mean, I feel like you could do a Shredder movie. Like, you almost don't even need the Turtles or anything. Like, I mean, like, no, his really story. Don't. It would be an interesting story. As I mean, you could almost just surprise people. Like, other than people that know the name, like, I think you could just, like, surprise people. And then at the end, it's, like, Foot Clan, and he puts on the fucking helmet or something.
But it would just be a cool story because if you guys remember the Wachowski sisters came out with that movie, what was it? Ninja Assassin? If you guys remember that movie.
Mm-hmm. Was that them?
Yeah. I believe so.
I remember.
Check your facts.
I remember the movie, yeah.
But just something kind of in that style, but of course in Japan. But it would just be cool to see the evolution of him, all the trials and tribulations that he went through because of just what he believes, even if it was, you know, wrong or whatever, or where he wanted to take the clan, but, you know, somebody didn't envision it that way, or the clan wasn't, you know, supposed to be, you know, this type of kind of like, I don't know, League of Shadows, you know, where he wants to rule everything, but they're like, this is not our purpose.
Yeah.
And yes, you have that rivalry as they grow older because there's a story where they have the same love interest, and that kind of twist and turns his mind because she chooses somebody else, and then he gets darker, but just the evolution, and then you see him making that armor, and then he creates it, and then he dons it. And I think he would probably have to create his own version, which is the Foot Clan, and then he comes back and he takes out that dojo or whatever it is. And
yeah.
I would just love to see something like that.
Like that. And they should establish how much he is like maybe a realist and hates like absurdity, just to add to the fact that he eventually has to fight fucking turtles.
if there's, that's really
good. If there's not a fucking scene in there where he's like not like, like, oh, turtle soup.
Oh, so good. Yes. Yeah. Or like kids are in costumes or something, and he's just like fucking, you know, like he hates the idea of anything like just different. Like, no, be right. Strong, human, be a strong man or whatever.
It sounds really close to that short film Joe that you showed us, or like the trailer. To,
yeah,
it's just so ridiculous and like on the nose about what's to happen.
Yeah,
turtles. I love it. That, look at them, that's really stuck funny. On their back. They can't flip over.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. There's a lot of potential for something like that. I think, I mean, it'd be so cool. Stylized. Just, yeah, I love it.
I also like that idea. Same thing kind of like with the Penguin, where when you have like gang families and then that power struggle, it's like, oh, there's that reason. Yeah, they don't have to kill people. You know, people getting in the way is just sort of, you know, whatever, collateral damage. And it just is that much more interesting of like, oh, who are they actually going to cross to get where they got to get to? You know,
but yeah,
that'd be a fun exploration.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at with any of these villain stories. You know, because I thought about like Magneto.
Yeah, that's which, on my list.
That obviously would be a great fucking movie.
No, that was an easy one, of course.
No, it's great. But I think there's a worry about like, I know art should be able to just represent like present itself, but I almost feel like there'd be a responsibility or like a worry. Because, you know, Magneto had good goals, but it was obviously a violent means to get to him. If you present a movie that shows, like, that work or that might be the actual answer, I think you could kind of promote violence in a way.
Well, it was a concern about the Joker.
Did it.
That was the concern about the Joker. And it obviously, I mean, I don't know if there was any violence directly related to the Joker, but there was certainly that... excitement or
he became kind of, to it. Kind of a poster boy for that movement of people who are dissatisfied with the system and like, well,
and X-Men 97 I think wonderfully explored that in depth really strongly, where at the end of that I was even like, yeah, Charles, what the fuck.
Yeah, but like X-Men 97 is coming off of like a pre-existing story, mm-hmm. and that was just kind of character development and everything like that. But if you were to just like launch a Magneto movie without, again, I guess the advantage of a shared universe or a cinematic universe, but if you were to just say like, here's a Magneto story, I think it'd be very much like, oh, you're kind of promoting like violent protest here.
Well, aside from that though, it just means it would be very like impactful. Oh, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, so people be like, you know that Magneto guy, let's watch that movie.
Yeah.
Thankfully, nobody has any superpowers that we know of, so I think we're okay. Jermaine out there with some like fucking electric magnet.
Yeah.
Wow. Magnets.
How do they work?
How do they work? Miracles. I'll never. No one will ever even say magnets around me and be like, how do they work?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So going, you know, we've been talking about the Joker, Batman, or Joker and the Penguin, Batman's rogue gallery, I guess you can call it. Mr. Freeze, I think, obviously, his whole story about his wife, right?
Yeah.
Getting sick and he needs to freeze her. I think that would just make for a good, like, tearjerker.
Nora.
You'd almost, like, not even care even if he does start, like, offing civilians just to get to it. I think they could make it.
Freeze!
I'm only going to watch it for Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's it. That's fucking it.
Yeah. Doesn't he sell the suit or something? Like he's paying $1 a year or something? Or someone?
For the suit?
I thought I was.
Don't check your facts. I'm just gonna believe it.
I haven't seen anything, but I choose to believe it.
Hype facts. Catch them here.
What else you got in that one?
Anybody else? Rapid fire. What do we got?
I was listening to a rival podcast the other day, and
traitor.
I was. They were covering this old movie called The Princess Bride, and I think. When I was thinking about villains, and I was like, oh, I would love to see like a story about the Six-Fingered Man and like, you know, him actually killing Inigo Montoya's father, and like maybe even like how he links up with the prince and how their kingdom is established or whatever. Like, I think that would be a offbeat, funny kind of thing to get into that wouldn't like necessarily destroy the original movie.
Yeah.
Or don't shit on his memory,
yeah,
or whatever.
Don't reboot it or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, I like that.
What a chicken shit he is though, right? Inigo Montoya says the whole thing and he's like, cool, and runs.
It was like that. He's like that. Yeah. Fuck you.
Rival podcast.
Does anybody have anything like in like video game world or anything like that? Or besides like...
No, I have some, a couple in horror films.
Go ahead.
So Scream has been, they kind of coined the word like requel, right? The whole breakdown and everything. Now, in these requels, they explored that Loomis's daughter, spoiler alert.
Hold on real quick. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger pays $1 annually to Warner Brothers to keep his costume from Batman and Robin.
Just a dollar annually?
So I can write it off,
like a lease or something. That's cool. Who knows?
I like the guy. He's all right. He's all right.
Yeah.
But like, so they explored that, or that rather, they reveal that like the main lead is Billy Loomis's daughter. So she's a little crazy, but she's like crazy for good, and she's helping her friends out and stuff like that. What if we explore that she goes full cray cray, and then starts killing people? Because she's out of the whole project because everything that was going on with her opinions of Palestine and Gaza and stuff. And then Ortega's out. But it just, that's one character I was like, oh, I think that's the only direction it could have gone. I don't think she's coming back. Check your facts. But then lastly, in the horror realm, anybody see Get Out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Armitage family. The family that does all the brainwashing and brain swapping.
Yeah.
I want to see them like figuring it out. And fucking all of those, like all the guys in all the photos, I want to see the explorations of all that to their demise. That'd be
interesting. Yeah.
Jermaine, you got some video game ones?
I was trying to think, like, I was seeing if you guys had anything, like, because
I got something I could add to that conversation.
Big
Bowser.
Big,
no.
Big video games. Like, I was thinking about, my mind went to Final Fantasy, you know, with Sephiroth. But then my mind...
They kind of gave Sephiroth his due in some of those games.
It's certain things, because my mind jumped around from, like, Avatar, The Last Airbender. But in most anime and certain video games, you hear, like, a tale. And they give you, like, a little flashback. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get a thing, you know, showing kind of like why they are the way they are. But because I'm a Metal Gear fan, like there's so many factions that function within Metal Gear with certain groups, but I would love to see like a Liquid, like just his story. Liquid Snake from, because, you know, we know Solid Snake. We get like a lot of his story, but you just hear, you know, Liquid kind of describing, you know, what he's been through. But it would be cool to see certain stories kind of like fleshed out. Like you get the Gray Fox and all that other stuff. But I would, like a fleshed out story would be kind of awesome.
Can I get a fucking legit Metal Gear Solid movie or series or whatever before we start jumping into the villains? I mean, God, it hasn't been long enough.
Huh? Sony?
Like, get your hands out of your ass. No, it's... I was going to say Square Enix. It's Konami. Konami owns that.
Oh, I know.
That IP. Yeah. Fucking, but yeah, man, like, they... For so long...
too much pressure. Could you imagine, like, going to a writer and be like, We need a Metal Gear Solid movie. Saying, nope. Here,
watch all these cutscenes. Just watching them out like 8 hours later. We're like, I don't know what to do.
Fan cast. Scott Eastwood.
I don't know who that is.
Clint Eastwood's son?
Clint Eastwood's son?
I don't know who that is.
Fuck. Many things to throw. Yeah, who would you have?
Is it? Isn't Oscar Isaac attached to that damn movie?
He's attached to it, but really? they're still not doing anything with it.
The Metal Gear Solid movie has been announced,
it's in development hell.
Well, they got to go through the panels of super fans.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Like for every like sentence, they actually just bring in a super panel now, and then the writer just writes like onto a projector, and he just listens to the and he backspaces real quick, just sweating.
But it's crazy.
In volume one, he does the thing that's just like the video game. Yeah. Okay. And then he does the next thing that's just like the thing.
One person in the back. Too much the same. Change it.
Oh, fuck.
We've had the story already.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you read the Metal Gear Solid novel, right?
Nerd.
Yes.
I haven't read it yet, but how did that hold up compared to the video game?
No.
It wasn't that scene? No.
I had to think about it for a second because was there a book? Yes, there was. I blocked it out.
Yeah.
Because it's as an adaptation, it seems like they dumbed the shit down to kind of make it make sense because the video game is a fucking like absurdist fantasy. But
was it the six chapters of hiding in cardboard boxes?
It was.
It's not all that. How dare you?
It was their take on the snake versus an actual tank.
Oh,
in the beginning that they're like they took like a real weird run at that to try to justify how fucking a guy would just be dodging tank shells. You know, in the middle of a snowfield.
Yeah. So yeah, you press X at the right time.
Which makes sense to us gamers.
Yeah, exactly.
But reading the book, I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, all right.
It's just a weird meta thing.
I see.
Because you're a fan.
I see.
You got to press your X muscle. Fan of the series, how the RPs work.
Like me, do you think Kojima could actually write a legit script?
He's too weird. He can only exist within video games.
He's weird, and he rubs himself to how weird he is.
Is it weird because you feel like the average Joe wouldn't
I don't know if I'm using this term correctly.
Appreciate.
But he's far too avant-garde for regular people.
I'll allow it.
Like, he's out there operating on a level most of us will never be able to approach.
I love him so much.
And the Metal Gear Solid games are so fucking good, but some the concepts are so out there that some people are just like, skip cutscene, skip cutscene, skip cutscene. Let me get to the action.
Yeah.
But I'll sit there and rewatch all of them shits put back to back. Just like, oh, yeah, it's fucking high concept bullshit. I love it.
And so for me, who I don't know if I've ever actually played any of them. I might have watched Dave play a little bit. Like as an outside observer, you wouldn't get that from looking at it. Right? Everything about it is, it's just like a Tom Clancy shit, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's sneaking around, killing some stuff, getting you to stop the bad guys from blowing up the world. So with that said, yeah, if they were to make a movie from it, I know we're sidetracking from villains. Well, we were talking about
Liquid Snake and
I think the advertising and everything for that, people would go in there expecting like another Tom Clancy or something, you know, kind of movie,
like a straight military thriller, yeah. And then they'd get a weird
some sci-fi.
Yeah,
a weird BDSM guy floating around like, I could read your mind.
Which I feel like they should do, just so I could sit. I would sit in every movie theater just to watch people like lose their fucking mind.
It is.
And talk through the whole fucking movie.
It is all that, but in what was it, Metal Gear Solid 4, the riding scene when he like break dances and Capoeira to all the.
Now I gotta play these fucking games.
That shit was so. See, in my mind, that's the type of like imagination that I want to see in movies and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's hard for the average. I don't know. It all depends on how they architect the scene, and what's believable. Because if you think that a dude that's a cyborg ninja versus these big walking tanks that he can like shoot, you know, like cables at them and like swing them around and, you know, jump through them and, you know, cut like
doing the most.
Yeah, like if you can visually say, okay, this is the mechanics that works in the universe.
Spider-Man.
Then it's doable. But if you're sitting there and you're like, that looks so fucking dumb.
But you have Spider-Man with that effect, but you accept it because it's a comic book about mm-hmm. a superhero with superpowers. And where you're approaching this as it's supposed to be like more of a military mm-hmm. intrigue.
A little gritty feel.
And all of a sudden they're fucking doing superhero shit.
Yeah. Like, but it has that sci-fi element to it. Like it's just not strictly like, you know, like Tom Clancy or like my boy Keanu Reeves.
John Wick.
Thank you. But
John Wick.
Thank you. It's not one of those, where, thank you.
Gross.
But it's just one of those things, you know.
That's tips.
If you can establish right off the bat that this movie isn't going to be your typical kind of like espionage-ish type, like James Bond movie, that is going to be a little bit amped and a little bit extra.
Like 100%, the marketing for that shit would have to be like super, like, specific. Like, take everything you remember about, you know, Commando from the 80s, Arnold Schwarzenegger bullshit, and throw it out the window.
In a world that you used to know.
Bring the voiceover guy back.
We have a sniper called Sniper Wolf, and she works with wolves. Totally on the nose. Like, it's just shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we almost need to get to that point where some trailers maybe should just, like, like,
before we roll the trailer, let's explain. Like, directly talking to me, like, you in the front seat. Fucking get out of here. You're not going to like this movie. Everyone else, buckle up. Throw all your expectations out the window.
I'll be back in a few. Perfect. I love it.
Wait, I have a few more. The agents from The Matrix. There's seven.
Interesting.
There's seven ones before Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing their evolution from actually starting the first Matrix, the first construct, and their evolution through all of those ones, like, that would be cool.
It's an overall exploration of the early Matrix, but through the eyes of the agents.
Mm. Which would be fun, because, I mean, didn't they say how, like, one of the early formations of the Matrix, like, had no strife or anything like that?
Yeah, everyone was happy.
It was utopian paradise.
Yeah, so just
to one accepted the program. Yeah,
just to get that, like, that little bit, right, would be just fun.
It's too perfect. We hate it here.
Yeah. It'd be like a sunny field and the grass and flowers, and everyone's like
just fucking short-circuiting.
And then all of a sudden they're just like,
no.
I feel no pain. What the fuck? And then just everyone dying. I would love that.
Exactly.
Need anxiety.
And the fucking agent standing around going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
About to kill
I hope the graphics
picking up bodies. Half the movie's like a board meeting with the agents trying to figure out what went wrong.
Special effects looks just like Minecraft. They're like, oh, we hate it here.
It's like pixelated. Holy shit. What if we connect it to the Minecraft movie coming out?
No, fuck the Minecraft movie. Is
the fucking intro, the origin of the Matrix.
It's pixelated. Oh, this is terrible.
No. Jack Black is the first Smith. No. We're writing it.
I always had an idea for the first Matrix. It was called the... In my head, it was The Matrix, but Firstborn. Oh. But just to show the person that was, you know, the first one that actually, like, woke up and, like, realized, that would kind of be interesting. But that's not a villain.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that would be. Speaking of video games and villains, though not really villain, which is kind of the point of this, Space Marine 2 just recently came out, which is a Warhammer 40,000 game. I haven't played it yet. I'm kind of waiting for it to get on discount because I'm playing WoW. WoW is life. Fuck you. And but I've been getting a real kick out of people on, like, Threads and Instagram that are slowly realizing that Space Marines aren't the good guys.
Mm.
That there really aren't good guys in the fucking 40K universe.
In the Grimdark universe.
Yeah, and... It's like people are saying, it's like, you know, I'm playing the game, and, like, by the end of it, it's like, I'm not the good guy, am I? And it's like, no, you're not. Like, and I think that's like such an interesting aspect of the 40K universe as a whole. You know, some people argue that, like, the Tyranid are the only theoretically good people because they're just aliens that are hungry and they're just trying to eat. Like, like everyone tries to justify why one race might be considered the good or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's because of economy, where you're selling a game, you're selling a miniature you know, tabletop war game where people, you want people to buy every army. And you, again, you can't necessarily have an evil army and a good guy army because you want everyone to feel like that they're buying the army that fits them and they're the good guys in their own story. Plus you're dealing with different alien races and that's literally the case here. Everyone's a good guy in their own story. So I think it's kind of an interesting aspect. There's not really like a true evil. Sorry, go ahead.
Has there ever been a movie where you think that you're following like the protagonist, he actually is not the protagonist, but that he actually is doing good. Then it turns out, oh, you're rooting for the bad guy. He's doing bad stuff.
You could argue like Starship Troopers. Other than
Sean Diddy Combs.
No Diddy.
I mean, Starship Troopers, I still haven't read the book. I know you've read the book, right?
I was thinking about the
But I mean, I think the whole idea is like, you know, you it's supposed to be satirical, which is the 40K universe, right? Because 40K started off in like 80s British stuff. So it was pure satirical, anti-fascist, everything. And I think it's similar to Starship Troopers where the idea is like, it's a like satirical approach to like citizenship and like saving humanity. But in reality, like they were the invading force or whatever that was like Got fucking it. With the aliens yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah, that's the only one that can, you know, off the top of my head, I can think of where... in that scenario, but
yeah, that sounds like something that's been done. I just can't think of anything else.
No,
off top, especially something where they've been like, "Oh shit, he was the villain the whole time." Like, yeah,
The Usual Suspect, Kaiser Soze.
Do you think he's a good guy though? As before, it's just like a little story.
Not really. No, he was just more of a bad guy.
What about one of my favorite movies of all time?
There we go.
Annie.
And it's because I'm actually surprised because this by this director, but what about, I was about to say Invincible, but Unbreakable, Mr. Glass.
That, there you go. No, I was going
to, like, yeah. He was one of the, like he believed that he was doing the right thing for the world.
I'll give you that one because you don't see him as a villain, like he's, you know, super vulnerable and
yeah,
he's
like right off the bat.
He's just, you know, trying to wake this guy up to his potential. And then all of a sudden it's holy shit. He's been manipulating these events.
And when he touched him and he was like, you know, I knew the kids. And I was like, that shit got me in my soul. Fuck them kids.
Don't fuck them.
No.
We cut that out. We made that distinction on the show before. Fuck them kids, but don't fuck them kids. It's all good.
Yeah.
I hate all of you.
You said on last episode, and I was like, don't say it. But someone gave me a little cider, so I blame you for this one. That happened because of you,
oh,
Doug.
Oh, God.
But you don't think
you had like two sips.
Yeah.
It was good, though. It was a decent cider. It was
delicious.
Yeah. You don't have to taste. It
was strong, though.
Also. Blame that shit. Come on.
Oh, but what about...
You're deep-seated. Never mind.
Finish that and cut it out.
No.
What? No. Yeah, we don't want any
evidence. I was just kidding. Drain.
Oh, no. I mean, we know this villain. You know, this... We, of course, talk about Star Wars all the time, but what about Darth Vader? Like, his...
Yeah.
His story.
After the fact?
Yeah, anything yeah, after
the fact. I have seen his name on these fucking lists, and I'm like, we got, like, his whole origin. Like,
Yeah.
But I'm like, but you want, like, a movie with him being, like, straight badass? And, like, I could see that.
The comics have done the Vader story... You know, because I think from the comics...
The new comics?
The newer comics, yeah. After the failure of episode 4, after the Death Star gets blown up, the Emperor was not happy with Vader. Mm-hmm. So I think there was like a line in the comics of Vader kind of having to regain the Emperor's favor and stuff like that. So like there's a story to be told there. There's obviously like... The video games touched on Vader having an apprentice, right? Starkiller? Yeah. So, like, there's that, like, a story you could tell there. So, they're
I need that.
An origin story we don't need, but certainly the filler in between episodes 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 or, you know, or even, like, between Rogue One and, like, well, Rogue One and episode 4, and that happened right after each other. But I feel like there's certainly some story. And now we just saw, like, in the Obi-Wan series, what happened there? Like, I think there is a Vader story to be told. It would ultimately still just be more Star Wars.
What always gets me about Vader is what happened to him, and you know, him being so powerful, but he was so destroyed that he kind of never reached his full potential. And the story that you always tell me about that one book, like how he had to kind of readjust and play with his why does my mind want to say animatronics, but his robotic gears and things. Oh, yeah. because of who he was, and you know, he was a kid who used to tinker and build stuff, and then for him to get destroyed like that, he had to work on himself to kind of make himself like somewhat of a fearsome image of what he could have been because of all his limitations that he had. But it would just kind of be cool to see that struggle and also pain and regret in him as he moved forward. But granted, I know a lot of people are going to say, yeah, we got the, you know, the trilogy and all that other stuff.
Like,
but,
I think that would work really well.
You know, like a lot of origin stories, villain or not, where you get them like the idea of the first concept of their suit or whatever. I kind of would have wanted that with Vader, like a little intro suit, you know, something just to heal him, and then he kind of puts it all together, kind of like with Kylo Ren, you know, like he put like the finishing touches on his stuff.
Oh yeah.
Well, they do in a couple of stories touch on where the Emperor had the suit designed for him, and it's just clunky and like. It's fucking terrible, and it just causes him pain, and he has to like adapt to it, and like he does replace, you know, all of his shit and, you know, upgrades himself, but the aspects that caused him pain he kept, because being hurt fed his anger and his rage, which amplified his power.
Wow. Write that story.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. The other aspect, because you guys keep talking about like origin stories, which obviously, you know, a movie doesn't need to be an origin story. And I think the new Spawn, weren't they talking about the idea of Spawn being like, yes, he's the character of the movie, but he's not going to be in it that much. He's going to be that like demon lurking in the shadows.
He was supposed to be like the boogeyman of that series. It's almost like the Batman animated series, how you used to hear those cops and people talk about, oh, you know, Batman, like, you know, when he, you know, thrust his arms out, you know, like you see sparks flying, like he was supposed to represent or be this thing that people feared. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what...
Like almost supernatural?
Yeah, like what I heard that the Todd McFarlane was going for. So that boogeyman aspect.
Yeah, so that's another angle that the studios, you know, could take if they're listening to us about a villain story, is that idea of like follow a villain that's literally dealing with like the boogeyman chasing him, whether it be Spawn or Batman or any of the other shadowy characters that could deal with it, where, you know, you could still kind of tell the story, but, you know, it'd be one of those weird ones where like technically the protagonist is the bad guy, but the hero is still your Spawn or your Batman that's trying to stop them. And I think it'd be kind of an interesting experience for the audience to like follow a character that you're not really rooting for. And you're kind of just waiting for him to get his comeuppance. But, you know, he narrowly escapes a few times or whatever like that. I think there's potential to tell a story like that.
Did they ever do any con origin or not origin story? Did they ever do anything con centered? Star Trek?
Oh, Star Trek Con.
Comic-Con?
Well, the original... So part of what made Star Trek II The Wrath of Khan so good was they were bringing back a character that they introduced in the original series. And so to answer your question, yes and no, because like that was a returning character. And then the books have talked on the eugenics wars, because that's where the Khan's origin came from genetic manipulation of humans, and then eventually there was like a war between those that were modified and those that weren't, because humanity wanted to maintain purity.
Exo Squad, Neo Sapien.
Yeah. Star Trek Strange New Worlds has recently kind of covered a little bit more of his origin, because one of the characters on that is a distant relative of Khan. because the eugenics people, they live a long time, and there was cryo freezing and stuff like that involved. It's all very complicated.
I'm aware of all that.
Yeah.
But you think he'd have a standalone movie, series?
The idea, like, there is potential, especially like with the eugenics war, right? Because everyone likes a good war story or whatever. Star Trek is always going to have that, like, pushback from fans, is because what made Star Trek what it was the fact that it wasn't a pew-pew war series. Mm-hmm. It was a future with hope and a future with, you know, diversity, and most of the problems were solved through logic and scientific discovery and stuff like that. So even like the newer stuff that has come out, like Discovery, when it first came out, the first two episodes were very war centric and everyone was like, oh great, they turned it into Star Wars. Or even J.J. Abrams stuff was very pew pew Enterprise flying around shooting lasers. Mm-hmm. So your hardcore Star Trek fans still want that, like, kind of slow, very dialogue heavy, let's solve this stuff. I think there's room for both, and because at the end of the day, like, people still love, like, Deep Space Nine, which was very much half the series was the war with the Cardassians and the Dominion. So I think there's potential for it, but it would be cool to, because the eugenics wars is kind of like the Clone Wars of Star Wars, where you hear that term a lot and you know about it, but I don't know if they've ever done anything about what that, but it would very much not be a Star Trek story.
I know. Wrap the shit up.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, we're done.
A little bit lackluster. A little petering out. Halftime. Sorry.
High channel, whatever.
No. So, you know, put your knives away. Put your bombs away. But clean the makeup off.
Yeah.
Tuck yourself in bed. I don't know.
That took a turn.
That really did. I'm sorry.
It's like, disarm yourself and then go to bed.
Well, because he's a villain, right?
Yeah, he's like, a bad guy. Like, and put the plans away.
The dynamite with the old analog clock on it. You can blow up the dam tomorrow.
Find us on social media at The Hype Attack. On Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, and on YouTube at The Hype Attack Podcast.
Absolutely.
Where you can watch us.
There's stuff to see.
Not much.
Doug?
Keep the conversation going. This is a good topic. I don't know. Tell us about your favorite villains, or what villains deserve their own show, their own movie, their own line of silverware. Bye.
Why you hate Joker too so much.
Yeah, can you tell us why Isaac, Rudy, and Doug are wrong about... No, I'm
kidding. You haven't even seen it.
I will. There's a villain. And I can't wait to come.
Ignorant fucking opinions.
My personal villain right now.
Trash ass movie.
God. Wait for his opinion next time. Same hype time.
Same hype channel.
Hype attack.